You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to my vagina. Where are we? What's today? Welcome to my vagina. This is Jessie Caron.
And I'm Rebecca Frank. And here we are again having our current historical, hysterical, infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina-having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably researched. Just kidding, you fools. It's definitely researched.
We got a new review.
We got a new review.
5 stars.
Okay.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's titled Vagtastic. It says, I stumbled across your Instagram and now I'm wondering what rock I've been living under. I don't know what rock.
Vagina shaped one.
Yeah. Every episode I've listened to has been so great. I need to get my boyfriend to listen to some of the episodes. His mother is a midwife, so he's well versed in vaginas.
Yay.
Awesome. Thank you, well, Stacey M. Wood.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. Have him listen.
Good for you, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Good find. What rock was he under?
Yeah.
Maybe they found each other under a rock.
Ooh.
That's nice.
That is nice. As long as you get out from under the rock.
Rock man type. I feel like. I've got a fun story about dogs.
Tell me your fun story about dogs.
So did you notice all around town that there were wanted posters for that dog named Pickles?
No. What? Oh, sorry.
No, it's going to get good.
Okay, good. I'm glad, but also super great name for a dog.
That's what I said. So all around town, I kept seeing all these signs for Pickles.
Pickles, where are you?
Pickles, where are you? Pickles was missing and Pickles was so cute. It was like a cattle dog of some kind, I think. Mm. Last night when I was doing some research, I was just kind of like, let me look on the internet at some dogs. Mm-hmm. So I went onto the Sean Casey website to see if they had any cute dogs there. I saw this dog named Violet and it was like a black lab-ish looking thing. And then they said this, they were telling the story about Violet and how Violet had been at Sean Casey 2 years ago, went to a foster home, snuck out of her collar or her harness and disappeared. And so Violet had been missing for 2 years, but then they found Violet. And do you know who they found with Violet?
Pickles!
Pickles! So apparently Pickles was being walked by someone with Wag and Pickles escaped. And so the family went to Wag and then Wag put all of their resources behind it and like brought up some like dog trackers from the Carolinas or something.
Damn.
And the trackers came up. They put up 13,600 Pickles signs.
Whoa.
All over the city. Yeah. And there were like Pickles sightings everywhere. And then they found Pickles by Brooklyn College and Pickles was with Violet.
Yeah.
So Violet's been on the lam for 2 years.
On the lamb.
But now she's back.
Dope.
Yeah.
Cool, Wag.
Yeah.
Speaking of, guys, I'm for hire if you want your dog walked or
watched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jesse's for hire.
That just reminded me, especially if your dog's name is Pickles.
Yeah. Hey, Pickles parents.
let me dog sit your dog.
Yeah. Dog sit Pickles.
I love finding Pickles.
Yeah. Delicious.
Until men stand up and say, this harassment, this abuse, these assaults are wrong, nothing would change. And it's so simple that it's almost laughable. It's one of those things where, hey man, if you are making anybody uncomfortable, don't do that. It's not that hard.
Today we are interviewing Nick from Typed Out Podcast.
Hey Nick, what's up?
Hi.
You know, you're our first dude.
Oh my gosh, you guys are my first vagina.
Oh!
You want to talk a little bit about toxic masculinity?
Let's do it.
Ooh, I've never seen somebody so excited about that.
Yeah. Well, especially probably a man being excited to talk about toxic masculinity because most want to turn and run in the other direction.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing.
Or just like get in your face and scream. That's what's so funny about it is like the way that certain people react to a conversation about toxic masculinity is like itself a demonstration of toxic masculinity.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, can you step out of yourself for 1 second and just see what all is happening here?
Well, because I feel like men are also taught that like that it's innate within them, and it's not. It's socialized.
Correct.
You know?
And also, I think that when you say toxic masculinity, people immediately assume that that is an affront or an assault on all masculinity.
Yeah.
When it's not.
Right.
There's behaviors that are good and behaviors that are bad. And the toxic masculinity obviously represents the behaviors or the socialized behaviors that are bad.
Yeah. It's not inherently bad to be masculine.
Yeah. So like, I guess my individual definition for toxic masculinity is the belief and the upholding of male gender roles as being supreme. And if there's any sort of influence of femininity, that it is a jeopardy, that it jeopardizes masculinity in that way. So basically like that alpha male perspective. And I guess it's kind of like a perceived view of what strength is, you know, and like,
it's like unrealistic standards too.
Yeah.
They feel that their wallet needs to be full and they have to have a certain level of like social status and
emotions,
you know,
in check.
Yeah. Emotions in check. And if you don't have those things and if, you know, I think it's 1 in 5 working class men don't have a job. So like when you don't get the things that you think that you're supposed to have, then you start taking it out on other people in a violent way.
Or on yourself.
Yeah.
Because suicide rates among men is significantly higher than women.
77% of suicides.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's 77% and it's mostly white males, middle-aged.
Suicides and cardiovascular problems. It's due to diet and smoking, but also I think due to the heightened stress levels and the fact that men are sort of disallowed from processing emotions and in constructive ways.
Yeah.
And when you keep all that stuff inside, I feel like it's like a cancer,
Absolutely.
And it can make you sick.
Yeah. Anything you don't deal with will find its way out in one form or another.
Yeah. When I went home and I was trying to decide, like figure out how to have conversations with my family, which is like blue collar, working class, listens to a lot of Fox News and has that like level of like men are men and women are women.
Yeah.
And I was listening to my mom's fiance who was talking about how his daughter's boyfriend got really upset when she did something really shitty. Like she got mad at him and then contacted like an ex of hers and then told him about it and like almost met up with him.
Well, that's not nice.
It wasn't nice. Anyway, he got very upset because he was into her and they'd been dating. And so he started crying.
Yeah.
And my mom's fiance was like, he shouldn't cry. He was like, I know that what she did was really wrong, but he shouldn't cry. Men can't cry. And I was like, why can't men cry?
Oh, they can.
Yeah.
That's why they have the ability to.
That's why tear ducts exist.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then like my mom was like, don't get political. And I was like, I'm not getting political, but like what you're saying is putting your daughter in jeopardy because what you're saying is that a man can't show his feelings. So what happens? He gets angry.
Right.
And he was like, well, you're allowed to be angry. And I'm like, yeah, you are, but like not when it's misplaced and not when your immediate reaction is to feel sad.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you turn that anger, you're going to use it against somebody.
Right. Not like exclusively angry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're allowed to have the full range of emotions because then there's shame associated with it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like if you're then felt shame for being sad, then that then turns into anger and self-loathing. I don't know why I can't speak today. Yeah, like thinking about people's reaction to that Gillette ad. I just rewatched that ad this morning and just thinking about how angry people got. This idea that men should be examples for young boys, that like boys will be boys is not a correct way to organize things. You just want to see some kid get the shit kicked out of him for no reason? Like, why? Well,
I think that they're, especially on the male perspective, I think there is the common understanding that a little bullying will toughen you up.
Mm-hmm, right? That's for sure.
And so I experienced mild bullying when I was growing up in high school. But like, yes, those things do create a thicker skin, but it's also like you have to realize that can we fully stop bullying? I don't think so. It's like a war on drugs, war on terrorism. It's kind of like
there's always going to be assholes.
There's always going to be assholes. So it's like one of those things that you can't really fight an intangible thing, right? Mm-hmm. Bullying itself is just, it doesn't have, you can't go at it with a sword and shield and say that I'm going to take it down. But what you can do is approach the way that you do raise your children, your boys specifically, because I feel like I would be curious to see if there are any statistics that exist as to, of all possible genders, who is the most likely to be a bully. Mm-hmm. I would wager that it's probably boys.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking in terms of violence, then yeah. I mean, like, if bullying is violence, then yeah, statistically, we can look that up in like a second. And men, I think they're one of their major deaths as well, in addition to suicide, is violence by other men.
Wow.
Yeah.
Homicide. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Men have, it's the, if you look at like all the rates of crime and whatever, it's like men are the most likely to commit and be the victim of. Mm-hmm.
Crime.
And yeah, and it's why our jails are predominantly made up of male inmates.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this on my way over here about the way that we raise our kids, because so much of this has to stem from the beginning, you know, and trying to understand what your kids are picking up on, because they're so much more in tune than people think that they are.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my friends has a son and a daughter. The son, I think, is 5 and the daughter's 3. And she's even noticed already like differences in their behavior that are mirroring back the society that we live in. Like her daughter is just more likely to apologize for things or say, or be polite, say please and thank you, less likely to hit her brother, you know, all of these sorts of things, more likely, more in touch with her emotions right away. And like, these are young children and they're almost like a petri dish for the society that we've created. And you can see how early things like toxic masculinity and the patriarchy really kind of start affecting our children. And how do we undo that when it's like during our, when our brain is forming?
Yeah. Well, I would argue that it starts even before birth, because like, I have mixed feelings about gender reveal parties. And like, I'm not saying I have bad feelings about them.
So.
Yeah, I could totally hear people being like, oh, well, you can't tell me how I should raise my kid. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. But also, like, again,
I'll be annoyed by it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you want to give your kid the free range, hopefully the free range to choose their identity, to form their identity, something that I vehemently believe in. But it's also like, when the minute that you start celebrating the gender of a child, or I should say the sex of a child, because that's really what you're celebrating at that moment,
Is
the sex of a kid, because you don't know what their gender is going to be until they're old enough for themselves to decide.
Right.
And so like, by celebrating the sex of that kid, and then let's say it's boy or girl, you might subscribe to the whole thing of like buying blue and green, buying purple and pink. Mm-hmm. And so it starts at that level, right? And so a child is raised in a nursery that is either like covered with astronauts and dinosaurs and blue things, and like even the t-shirts that it's like, you know, dad's little power lift.
There's a great Hidden Brain episode on this about a couple who chose to raise the child gender neutral, and they lost a lot of people in their lives, and they had to get, they like got into arguments with the nurses. They got a yellow onesie for it and put it in the bed in the hospital, and at some point she came back and it was covered in pink stuff.
Wow.
And she was like, what is this? And the nurse was like, oh, well, you know, I just wanted to like pretty her up. And she's like, this is not how I put her in here, and I do not want your like input on how to like decorate my child's bin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. People have a really hard time with that kind of stuff. I mean, there was to the same effect, an article in New York Magazine or something like that, following a few couples who decided to raise their children gender neutral. And the thing that stuck out at me so much is like, why is everyone obsessed with people's genitals? Like, why are you obsessed? That's what it is. You want to, because people, when they're babies, a lot of times they're bald, you know, like you can't tell what sex a baby is.
My kid's going to be in a fucking dinosaur onesie 24/7.
Yeah, I believe it.
I fully support it.
My kid has 4 legs.
But she can wear a dinosaur onesie if she wants.
Sure can.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that these people had to deal with was society and the way that people wanted to be able to categorize their children.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how to interact, because all of the rules that we use, that we're governed by, and all the ways that we know how to interact with people is specifically based off of perceived stereotypes based off of their sex.
Yes. I don't know if I told you about this story when we last met up to sort of pre-plan. I was home with my dad. We were at the store walking down the aisle, and somebody was walking our opposite direction. And my dad made a casual comment, and he was like, you know, I don't know if that's a man or a woman. And I said to him, I was like, well, why does it matter? Why do you need to know? Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, what do you mean? I just need, you know, you I just want to know if it's a man or a woman. And I said, well, why does it matter, Dad? You know, like, why do you need to know? You know, mm-hmm. And then in retelling that story to my sister, it's like, again, to fortify exactly what you just said, Rebecca, is that we have to label things because society has created these sort of readme files that come with those labels to tell you how to treat that person. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a man, I treat them this way. This is a woman, I treat her this way. Mm-hmm. This person's white, I treat them this way. This person's black, I treat them that way. Mm-hmm. Straight, gay, go down the line. Trans, cisgendered, like mm-hmm. every single thing, and some things are quite new to society, so we're still building the way that we, like the rules and bullet points that go along with treating that person mm-hmm. that way. But it's like, why? Why does that have, why can't you just say that's a person and I treat them
yeah.
as I would treat anybody?
Right.
Because it's easier for people to categorize things.
Absolutely.
It's yep. it's less complicated
yeah.
if you can name it a thing.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Eckhart Tolle at all?
Sounds familiar, but no.
A New Earth. So I'm a huge follower of Oprah's Super Soul Conversations, and she
I
was doing
Oprah.
Yes she was doing I think they just wrapped up going chapter by chapter through Eckhart's book, and he talks about how when you label things you actually limit your experience of
yeah.
them
mm-hmm.
and so by saying like, oh, that's a tree, that's a flower, that's a person, or even I mean yes, to some degree we do need to categorize and name things because we need some level of categorization.
But more
categorization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't speak today either.
It's tough.
It's Mercury.
But that's also for you too. It's not necessarily for everybody else.
Correct.
Your dad walking down the street doesn't need to know if that's a boy or girl, or if that's an open relationship and they fuck other people.
Correct.
Or what?
Yeah. I think it's more of like, take the loose idea and don't say that it needs to be something so concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that like, a boy is a square and a girl is a circle, and neither can the two mix.
One of the things that I think has always been kind of missing in the conversation when we talk about the way, which we talk about on this podcast a lot, the way that things are normalized around straight white males generally, and how that does a disservice to other people.
Yeah.
One of the things that we don't usually talk about, because there's not that much space for it, because we're in a place right now where a lot of people, and sometimes myself included, are like, I can't deal with your issues because like we're finally getting a second to be heard. And yeah. like, I don't, but because the way that the conversation has been framed hasn't been about the ways in which things like toxic masculinity and the normalization of white males, straight white males, has done a disservice to those people themselves. So I found out that the American Psychological Association just in this past May issued its first ever guidelines for practice with men and boys, which was based on 40 years of research showing that traditional masculinity is psychologically harmful and that socializing boys to suppress their emotions causes damage. And because men have always been the focus of studies, they've been the norm. And so there has never been a language to treat them for the ways that society affects them negatively.
Yeah.
And this just was released in 2018.
Yeah. I love that. Well, this came up in my conversation in January around the similar topic. And just talk about irony, because it happened to be the same week that the Gillette ad was released.
Okay.
And I think it was the 70s or 80s, homosexuality was listed as a psychological disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came off that list, I think, in the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I think it was the 90s. So to see suddenly how homosexuality was removed from the psychological disorders list, and then now it's called traditional masculinity, mm-hmm. has been put on there. So it's kind of like a switch in that way. And it was just kind of bookending sort of, I guess, the topic in that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
but it's fascinating. And it's, and people were so up in arms about that article.
Like, yeah. I was just kind of skimming through some of the, this was my favorite. Traditional masculinity isn't about suppressing emotions, but exercising self-control.
Okay.
And that gets, that's.
Yes, men are so controlled.
Right. But like, but that's
Brett Kavanaugh.
You know, but like, that's the perfect, that's such a perfect way to limit an understanding of what being masculine is.
Yeah.
Tristan Bridges, a sociology professor at UC Santa Barbara, pointed out in a 2013 study published in American Journal of Sociology that found that men whose gender was threatened by being told that they tested as more feminine on a made-up gender identity survey were more likely to support war, as well as show both homophobic beliefs and beliefs in male superiority. Women whose femininity was similarly threatened showed no significant changes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Threatened. And even more distressing, in a 2012 study published in the Journal of Violence Against Women, found that men whose masculinity was threatened before reading vignettes about sexual assault responded to the stories by blaming the victim and exonerating the perpetrator more than men whose gender identity was not threatened first.
It's, oh my God. So many thoughts and feelings about all of it.
Tell us some, please.
Give them to us. Yeah.
Well, one, I would love to come back to what you were just saying, Rebecca, about how, like, to be a real man, right? Mm-hmm. So for... what does that even mean, to be a real man? Okay, okay, cool. I think we can bullet point some things that we think would fall under that. But the other thing, coming back to like that alpha male, the power dynamic between men specifically, right? Mm-hmm. Men are so willing to turn around and tell another man that he's not man enough. There's always going to be another man that wants to hold supreme power to tell a line of men that they're not man enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if they were to hit 5 out of 6 bullet points on that list, or even all 6 to some degree, there would still be something. It's like that gentleman's club of where they're like, I can create the rules so that they cater to me, right? Which is society as a whole.
Right, absolutely.
If we're going to take the straight, cis white gender, like male gendered perspective, it's all about how I can construct society so that it best suits me and mine. Another thing that I want to address about what you just said, Jesse, is like how homophobia falls in there.
Yeah.
Homophobia like is rooted in misogyny.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's like almost synonymous with misogyny, because homophobia is all about how you are less than what is masculine.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And how like gay sex and its general function is an emasculate thing, right? So you're almost stealing from someone their masculinity. Like even within the gay community, which is why I love talking about this, because toxic masculinity doesn't just apply to straight men.
Yeah.
It applies to all men, all men, period, across the board. And even in the gay community, there is this idea of being as it's, I love to use the metaphor that it's like playing bocce, right? So if the small white ball is straightness, certain gay men love trying to get their bocce ball as close to it as possible, like being straight approximate, right? And it's like, girl, sis, sweetheart, honey, you are never going to be that thing. Like you're never going to be straight.
Yeah.
You're never going to be straight. Even if you're bi, you're never going to be straight.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's adhering to something that you think will best serve you.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you're only doing that because society will favor that behavior.
Yeah.
The closer you are to that thing, the more you are to quote unquote be rewarded by society.
Right.
But also like, especially when I'm on dating apps and you scroll through and you see people like masculine only or mask for mask, you know, or my favorite thing that I love to come across, because the gay community loves to be like, no, we're not, like, I can't be gay and homophobic. I can't be gay and racist.
Oh,
and
that's,
it's
ridiculous.
Like, oh, no,
yes,
no,
you can.
No, let's,
you
have, sure, a, let's have a conversation.
Sit down, beautiful.
But they'll be, yeah, exactly. They'll be the thing, no femmes, no fats, no Asians. Which is a huge thing. Yeah. And like, I forget which clothing company it was, but they thought it was cute and started printing it on t-shirts.
No.
Stop. Yeah. And they were like, oh no, it's supposed to be like sassy and satirical. Mm-mm. Like, no, that's not how it works.
You can't get away by saying everything sassy.
Thank you. But also, just because it's printed on a t-shirt and has zero context unless you have to explain it, does not fly.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't make it cute. Yes, right. Because it's on a t-shirt.
Right.
You know,
it's, and at like, some point, someone's just going to be offended and not walk up to you and ask you to explain the slogan that's on your t-shirt.
at some point someone's going to punch you in the face.
Yeah. I think that's something that gets lost, where it's like, you know, that like women can't do something wrong, or that like gay people can't do something wrong, or like, you know, black people can't do something wrong. That's, we can all do something wrong in different avenues.
Yeah. We are all people at the end of the day.
Yeah. And we all have prejudices.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Through the work that I've been doing and the conversations that I've been having, it's like the more you talk about prejudice, the more aware you become of how much it exists, how much prejudice there actually is out there in every form and fashion. You know, people try to walk through life in a way that it's like, I'm right about this one thing, right? We're all people in the sense that like, no one is going to get everything right. Even through life, you could be 89 years old and not get everything right. It's the awareness and the ability to try is really the thing, right? It's all about actively trying to be as socially aware beyond yourself and beyond localization.
Yeah.
And when I say localization, I think friends and family that are immediately affected by like coming back to politics, like the way legislature works and what laws are passed and who they affect. And people only think about their land, their property, and their people.
Mm-hmm. That not my pig, not my farm.
Yeah. Exactly. It's more than that. Expand your view. Expand beyond and think of a larger population and doing the most good.
Yeah. I think the most powerful thing that I learned, and I'm still learning because it can fluctuate, is there is so much power in being like, oh my God, you're right. I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah.
There's so much power behind that to like shift and evolve as a human that I think we're missing, because people do want to be right.
Absolutely.
And you think that inherently everything you're thinking is the way forward. I listened to Afropunk recently, and they had this amazing point where they were talking about racism and how everyone is a little racist, and that the idea is that you can't, like, you know how people are like, I'm not racist, I'm, you know, that card.
Yeah.
It's bullshit, because the idea that what they say, and I love this, is that the only thing you can actively do is be anti-racist.
Yeah.
To think about what you're doing when you're walking down the street and like, why does this person scare you? Mm-hmm. Or why does that person not scare you? And so I've kind of learned that lesson in terms of everything. I try to give that to men sometimes, where I'm like, you're talking too much. The best thing you can do is listen and try to be anti-sexist, because you just are, because you grew up in the same society as we did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that everyone, absolutely everyone is racist, homophobic, transphobic, misogynistic, everyone.
Yeah. Like, I fall into that trap sometimes.
Yeah. No, everyone is, because that's the society in which we are raised, right? And so it's like, yes, okay, it's a homophobic society. I'm just going to go on this route because this is obviously what applies to me. Mm-hmm. And the biggest joke on gay people is that they're also homophobic.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're raised in a homophobic society. You're not exempt from that. It's not like, oh, well, I'm gay, so therefore, like, that whole thing is alleviated.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Coming back to shame, the biggest thing is like, when you're raised in a homophobic society or misogynistic society, right? Coming back to gender roles, like, you're growing up and battling against, you're trying to push against the boundaries through which society has already set in place for you.
Yeah.
Right. And even I was coming back to TED Talks. Who doesn't love a good TED Talk?
Crazy people.
Right. I forgot exactly who it was that was the speaker, but she was saying that, you know, you don't even think about these prejudices until you become aware of them.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was on a flight, a transatlantic flight. And, you know, just before you take off, the pilot comes on and they're like, hi, I'm your pilot for the evening. And, you know, I'll be, you know, flying overseas. So a female pilot, you know, she came over the intercom and she's like, I'm going to be flying the plane.
Oh God.
And so, the speaker was like, that's awesome. Like, yes, women pilots.
Yeah.
Right. Zero issues until they're midair. They hit a little bit of turbulence. And she was like, all of a sudden I'm freaking out and realizing that I'm wishing that it was a man flying the plane, because society dictates that a man would be better able to handle.
Oh, wow.
Large machinery.
Yeah.
You know, like, and she was like, oh my God, why am I doing that?
Yeah.
Like, a woman is just as capable as a man to do this thing.
Totally.
And if it was a guy flying and we hit turbulence, I wouldn't think anything about it other than that it's turbulence and I hope that I'm going to survive this.
Right.
You're not, your biases don't get triggered because that's the default.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So even, I love the fact that she address that because it's true, right? Yeah. None of us are exempt from any of this stuff. Our job is to do the work and challenge the society and say that like these parameters that have been put in place are not okay. Mm-hmm. And if we're to truly move forward and heal some of the things that many people are suffering from.
It's Verna Myers.
Verna Myers.
She says, not too long ago, I was on a plane and I heard the voice of a woman pilot coming over the PA system. And I was just so excited, so thrilled. I was like, yes, women, we're rocking it. We are now in the stratosphere. It was all good. And then it started getting turbulent and bumpy. And I was like, I hope she can drive.
Yes.
So the TED Talk is called How to Overcome Our Biases, Walk Boldly Toward Them.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Prejudice pops up in ways that we don't even think about until, again, you slowly gain self-awareness.
Yeah.
As you were saying, Jesse, like crossing the street and seeing somebody, generally a person of color, perhaps they're in a hijab, you know, like where it triggers that response and it's like, oh my God, must cross the street.
Yeah.
But people generally don't question that behavior until they become aware.
Right.
They're not listening to other people and being like, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I'm just a person just like you and like just walking on the sidewalk, dude.
Yeah. Just like listening and like asking questions. Yeah. Why did I cross the street?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing is like the recognizing the behavior and then investigating that behavior and being like, okay, why are the reasons that I did this? Like what have I learned? What am I seeing? What, you know, how does it make that person feel?
This totally just brought back a conversation that happened over the weekend that I would love to, I'm just going to pitch and then see the general response from both of you ladies. So I was at a housewarming party over the weekend. And there was a gentleman that came and he was talking about how he was going to be going out to the bar afterward. And he basically started the whole conversation by saying, or the whole story by saying that he was going to grab a 26-year-old's ass.
No.
A female. Yeah. He was like, yeah, I'm going to grab a 26-year-old's ass tonight.
Can I ask a question that's so not important? How would he know that she's 26? Is he going to check IDs first?
Right.
Or I think it's somebody that he must have known ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
got it. So he had his victim picked out already.
I see.
So not the point, but had to ask.
I don't think that he was, I think it was, somebody that he knew and not like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, radar somebody that happens to be 26.
So he's planning his sexual harassment ahead of time. Got it.
Exactly. The majority of the people in the circle were female. So of course that did not go over well. And he started to like this
bold.
Yeah. And so I think there were two or three women that were like, okay, that's not okay. That's just not okay. And he was like, what do you mean? He's like, I can't help it. Like, you know, it's a sign. Yeah. He's like, it's a sign
my
of
my brain is mid explosion right now.
Oh my God.
It's a sign of attraction. Like my hand can't help like if her
just
ass
like,
is nice.
My foot can't help but kick you in the fucking nuts if you grab my ass.
But at one point, like I just kind of like let him go and the women were flabbergasted, of course, right? Because it's just like he's zero awareness.
Yeah.
Zero awareness of what he's actually saying. And at one point I was like, you're going to dig a deeper hole with a shovel than a spoon.
Mm.
Like, because he was just going down and down.
Because now he's trying to make it better.
Trying to justify himself. And so he just did not realize like what he was saying was so offensive and that like coming back to consent, like why can't you just, I mean, granted, no one's going to walk up to you and be like, oh, hey, can I grab your ass? Is that okay? Is that cool? And it'd be like, thanks, but like, thanks for respecting yourself, but go to somebody else.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's just not going to happen.
Right.
But okay, here's a question
kind
for
of
you both.
Catcalling.
Yeah.
If you're out on a date or and somebody asks, can I kiss you? Is that a killer? Is that like a date killer? Or
no, it's
would
adorable.
You be like, okay.
I like it.
Okay.
I think it's adorable.
Because I know some people would be like, why are you asking? Just do it.
No. I mean, for me, like, it's different for everyone. You know, I've had people who were able to read what I wanted. But some people can't.
Yeah.
And so for people like that, if they don't know and they can't read, even if I'm being enthusiastic and they're having trouble reading it, then no, I'm perfectly fine with a male asking me. And honestly, I've done it. I did it to a dude one time because I was like, is this going well? Cause I can't read you. So I just was like, hey, can I kiss you? And he was like, yeah. So like, why not?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
If you can read it and you know, and you're good at perceiving people, do it.
Absolutely.
If you're not, just ask.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to self-awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Like being aware of the situation, the context of the situation, the responses that you're getting from someone, but also another TED Talk. There was a woman who was talking about emotional intelligence and how you can't actually read emotions on anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't tell if somebody's like a convicted killer or if like they're happy because of, it's crazy. In that sense, I guess it's like you should never dictate off of somebody's behavioral responses whether or not you have permission to do something unless they illicitly say, you may do this, XYZ. So,
yeah, I think we have such an idea. It goes back in, just to keep going back, toxic masculinity, like this, but this idea of like sweeping a woman off of her feet, or like those, God, thinking about all those like cartoon, those fairy tales, those romantic comedies, like all of this stuff, or of the way that men go in for like the romantic kiss, you know, or like this guy thinking about like, he's so privileged that he has completely opted out of one of the biggest cultural conversations that happened in 2018. He just opted out.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is privilege. Like, so hard right there that you basically were like, you know what? This doesn't affect me and I don't have to change my behavior. That's... Yeah. What the fuck?
And also not listening to a room full of women tell you why it's wrong, but continue to justify yourself as to why you're right.
Yeah.
That's the thing that always frustrates me is I'm like, if an entire community of people are telling you that you're doing something wrong, this isn't a one-off, but an entire community is telling you that something is wrong.
Yeah.
Fucking listen. I don't understand. It's a numbers game. Like if the whole room of female women are like, what you did was so inappropriate. And he's like, no, it can't be me.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
My hand is just magnetized to
it. It's like comical. I mean, that is almost word for word Donald Trump, the leaked tape, Access Hollywood. You know, I just can't help myself. I just start kissing them. I don't even know, you know, it's exactly that.
Ugh.
And this whole thing makes me think of that famous kiss post-World War II. I think it was World War II, right?
Yep.
That just happened recently last week, right?
Yeah.
The guy passed away and she was like, she was definitely like, I didn't ask for that. I did not ask
they
to be kissed.
They didn't know each other.
No. He got off the boat, assuming it was a boat, but he just saw that a woman he thought was beautiful and went up to her and kissed her, and somebody happened to catch it on camera.
And it's the most romantic, iconic thing to people.
And it's non-consensual.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about that. And there's a statue somewhere, I think, and there she was like, please take it down. Because
really?
I think that was the argument I recall from last week reading an
the
article.
The sailor died at 95.
He did, yeah. And I think she's still alive, I believe. And she was like, I never consented to that kiss and I would love
it's not romantic.
If that statue got taken down.
Wow.
Again, toxic masculinity. It's the assertion. It's the power. It's like, you're a woman and I can do this to you.
Right.
Or you're somebody other than a straight, white, cisgendered male and I can do this to you because I have everything to back me up.
Yeah. Thinking about how we create like a new model of masculinity and how you can give more of your power over, and like, how do we start that new model? How do we teach men to be allies?
I think it's exactly that, is that we do have to create a new model on all of this, right? Because I see a lot of things where even a conversation that I was holding for Typed Out for Black History Month, one of the things that was being pitched was like, how do Black entrepreneurs fit into an already existing culture? And I was like, well, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because the existing culture doesn't support them, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, well, how do you plug into the puzzle that we've created for you, essentially?
Yeah, and that we have so little space left.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not about that. Like Wade Davis, who's the first out NFL player, he's the one that talks greatly about how misogyny plays into homophobia and really unpacking misogyny first before you can even attack homophobia. It's a great talk.
Cool.
Like he talks about the pie's already been baked. Throw out the pie and make a new pie.
Yeah.
So like, how do we address this whole thing with men and talk about like yielding over power to women and gender nonconforming folks? Like
people of color.
You're going to get a lot of people fighting and saying, well, it's not fair. Well, what is fairness?
It hasn't been fair.
Yeah.
Nothing is, fairness is an abstract concept, you know, and fairness, we can argue that, okay, well, what's fair? Things that work for just you and the demographic like you, and then the 85% of other people that have been waylaid and treated as other?
Yeah.
Fairness is a completely relative term.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's based off of your own idea of what fair and justice is, and like justice might actually not be fairness.
Right.
You know?
Well, because they think they're giving up pie, but they don't realize that it's going to the people who haven't had any pie.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's not about what's fair. It's about what's right. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think if we were to put more people in the room and we were to raise people a certain way, I think we'd have happier, healthier people.
Yeah.
Like if we can all add to the fucking table, there'll just be more pie.
Yeah. Yeah. There are numerous studies talking about how diversity, especially in leadership, will strengthen the, like that company, if it's a company organization, because you're actually bringing in different points of view.
Yeah.
Right. You can't, I actually am in the midst of writing an article about this, about like what is acceptable diversity, in the sense of like diversity of thought, but not diversity in demographic. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So people are asking you, like when it comes to podcasts, well, how is your podcast different than something else? People want you to be different, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a certain level of what is acceptable to be different.
Right, yeah.
Right? So it's like you can be different within a certain thing, but like you yourself should not be different.
Mm-hmm.
So your creative intellect should be different.
Right.
But God forbid the person that is the vessel for that creative intellect be different.
Absolutely.
But more often than not, it's that person that hasn't historically been at the table, or, you know, as they say, the voice at the table, the chair at the table, the person that has been historically extinct from that conversation, that is truly bringing the different creative intellect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think also thinking about like proactive versus reactive diversity.
Yeah.
Like what are the reasons? Are you trying to diversify simply to check a box off, or are you trying to diversify because you realize that you're missing out on stuff? Like I remember my friend, she's a lit agent, and she primarily represents female female identifying authors. Mm. And at one point she was like, man, like my list is like very white.
Mm.
And she realized because people didn't realize that she wanted, she's like, I want the best of everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get the best if I have a white list.
Yeah.
If all of the people sending me stuff are white, I want all of these different ideas. I want all of these different voices. And that's what's going to make things better. Like that's what makes literature better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what makes the world better.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. When you get different perspectives coming to the table and talking about how to solve a solution, like come to the table with a solution in mind, or proposed solution in mind.
Yeah. More ideas.
Yeah. Otherwise,
maybe more people would be scientists and then we can get ourselves out of this hole.
Hey, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we also have to acknowledge that science is a real thing first.
Yeah. Yeah. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Got it.
Baby steps. So. Can you tell us about your, real quick, about your podcast?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We haven't even talked about that.
I meant to start with that.
I know.
Well, this is why I write things down.
We could just move it to the beginning. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Sure. So her name is typed out.
Nice.
But it's a platform, podcast, and community organized event, community event organization, I should say. It's probably the best way to put that.
Mm.
That is dedicated to social change. So like the conversations, the personal essays and poetry that you'll find on the website, and even the community events like the open mics that we have, are all dedicated to expanding the boundaries of understanding and acceptance. So it's kind of this whole this whole idea, but expanding it to all demographics and saying that there's so much overlap between communities that we just need to start having a cross-communal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the more understanding and awareness that we have of what each other is going through, hopefully we'll be able to bake a new pie.
Bake a new pie.
So it's a reaction to how people are still so close-minded in 2019, and it feels like we're regressing as opposed to progressing. Mm-hmm. So that's what Typed Out is.
Dope.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nick puts on also really, really fantastic events. So you all should follow all of his things. Where can we find you?
Well, if our Instagram handle and website address are the same. So it's typedout.co, typedout.co. And then, all the information is there. You can also find us on Facebook, Typed Out. We post all the things. It's mostly like the portal is like Instagram to the website. And then our podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and through our website. You can direct listen and download. Thank you. And I can't wait to have you both on the Typed Out podcast.
I know. Yeah. It's so fun.
To talk about feminism.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. We must raise our daughters differently. We must also raise our sons differently. We do a great disservice to boys in how we raise them. We stifle the humanity of boys. We define masculinity in a very narrow way. Masculinity becomes this hard, small cage, and we put boys inside the cage. We teach boys to be afraid of fear. We teach boys to be afraid of weakness, of vulnerability. We teach them to mask their true selves because they have to be, in Nigeria speak, hard man.
So since we discussed with our friend Nick from typedout.co about toxic masculinity, we thought that we would talk about toxic femininity. Hashtag not a thing. But we found some really fun things on Twitter.
I mean, I keep wanting to say toxic femininity. Like an anemone.
So, like an anemone.
I'm an anemone.
Toxic anemone.
There's a lot of toxic femininity. That's how he spelled it. Going around lately, women are trash. Which, can I just bring up that women got their comments taken off of Twitter when they wrote men are trash?
Oh,
do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
All right. So this article, mother blessed with quadruplets plans on choosing to only have the girls. I guess like she wasn't going to keep all of them because that's like a lot of babies to have at the same time.
Yeah.
So she decided to just have the girls. And someone wrote, this is what starts to happen when you scream toxic masculinity and fail to see the grim hashtag toxic femininity.
Just look what happens when it's forced. Captain Marvel, Star Wars, hashtag toxic femininity.
Oh my God.
We are afraid of the government and society that would back women blindly. So many innocent men have been abused systematically. Hashtag meninist. Hashtag toxic femininity.
Hashtag meninist is for sure my favorite hashtag of all times. Women who have become the most toxic creature on the planet. Hashtag toxic femininity. I don't even understand what that one meant. Actually,
well, apparently, according to Sirius George, hashtag toxic femininity is what happened.
Toxic femininity is rampant and must be confronted, eagerly awaiting a Gillette hashtag be the best women can be and demanding women end this abusive behavior. Hashtag men too.
Calling all hashtag masculinists.
Meninists, masculiniminists.
Masculinists, the redefinition of what a man is under attack. The gay community has already displayed that via hashtag toxic femininity. Disaster to say the least. What does that even mean?
I don't know. Why? I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Why do feminists want all the power of men, all the privileges of women, and the responsibilities of neither? Hashtag feminism is cancer. Hashtag feminist. Hashtag feminismo. Hashtag toxic femininity.
Oh, no. Good. Carrie Fisher did not die for Disney / Lucasfilm to turn her character into a man-hating feminist asshole. George Lucas did not sell his franchise for his characters to be treated like shit. If they think it is supposed to enforce hashtag girl power, it's not. It's promoting hashtag toxic femininity.
Hashtag Instablock Captain Mabel. I think it was supposed to say Marvel. No one needs any hashtag toxic femininity, especially not we mothers.
Women have become the most toxic creature on the planet. Hashtag toxic femininity.
Yeah, that's a good one. Someone wrote, you finally are dating someone, I guess, to this girl. Look, bruh, free lunch is a free lunch. Hashtag toxic femininity. Hashtag I date for the food. Feminists be like, why only fuck boys? Why not fuck girls? Hashtag why? Hashtag feminism is cancer. Feminism ends only when the financials attached to it end. It is a $1 billion industry. People will never let it end. I was in a premier engineering institute the other day. What shocked me was how uninformed the young boys and girls are about feminism. The misandry in them was shocking. I love that feminism is now $1 billion industry.
Yeah.
Where's my cut? I've been in this shit for a while. I want some fucking back pay.
Where's our class action lawsuit?
Yeah,
exactly. From being a feminist.
Yeah, I've been working hard out here.
It's sad how women don't take men being sick seriously. Toxic.
Oh my God, stop.
Holy shit, that is my favorite.
That's a really good one. I kind of want that on a t-shirt.
Oh my God.
So I just found a picture of a guy wearing a t-shirt, mm-hmm. and on the back, and it's this really big guy, huge shoulders, looks like he lifts a bunch of weight, pretty fit. And the back of his t-shirt says, "A movement to prevent misandry and to stop law misuse, men's helpline." So if any of you men are feeling like you need some help, some men's help, you can call 918-882-498-498. And to stop law misuse and misandry. You're welcome.
I want to use that song in the new 6575-309.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here.
God damn it.
Doesn't sound right when I do it.
I know.
Places you can find us on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina.
We're trying to get 1,000 followers to tell your friends. And Twitter at Welcome to My Vag.
We also have a website, welcometomyvagina.com, which leads you to my YouTube page, also yep. Welcome to My Vagina.
Uh-huh. And there's a blog section where I have posted a couple of things, but we're also looking for writers. So if you have interesting opinions, if you are a person who wants to break into writing and wants to share your voice, we're looking for diverse opinions, all sorts of different people.
We're basically looking for anyone who's not a cisgender man. We definitely want you guys to be allies, but right now we're looking for other voices.
Yeah, and also we love our white women peers, but we're two white women sitting here, so we'd love more diverse voices.
Also, thank you so much to our producer, Caitlin Moldenhauer of More Banana Productions. Please check out all of the work from this all-women network, including World Stealers, There Will Be Porn, I'm Listening with Anita Flores, and Awkward Sex in the City with Natalie Wall, which is coming to you in July.
Yeah, More Banana Production is killing it.
Yeah, guys, we're kind of taking over the world. And don't forget to review us.
And subscribe and tell your friends.
Yeah.
And we're going to have merch soon.
Merch.
I don't know why that word always makes me think of Merkins.
Ooh.
Merkin merch.
Also, check out all of Rebecca's writing at franklyrebecca.com.
Da-da-da!
Da-da-da!
Yeah! All right.
See you next
Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.